Let me get my notes.
You have notes?
I came home. I couldn't help but write some notes.
Yeah, I'm glad you did, because, you know, this is Palm Spring to me.
How can it when you're like shaking awake the whole time?
Fucking hell.
Hello.
Hello.
I like that Palm Spring is now a verb in our vocabulary. So we watched The Last of Spunk.
The Spunk.
I like Spunk better.
Yeah?
Yeah, it sounds dumber.
I think Spunk sounds dumber.
Okay. Should we explain? Spunk is Sony Pictures Universe of Marvel movies via the Weekly Planet.
Sony Pictures Universe of Marvel characters.
Okay.
That's how I've seen it.
Yeah, they have the look, but they have none of the personality of these Marvel characters.
They have the worst characters you can imagine.
So, Rick, what did you think about Kraven, friend of all animals? Just like how he is a comic book.
Yeah, exactly the same. It's completely comic accurate.
He's a hunter of humans this time.
Yeah.
Like he's never in the comics.
Yeah, so like Kraven in the comics, he hunts animals, and his ultimate thing is to hunt Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because it's a spider.
It's the ultimate prey.
Yeah.
He thinks.
For some reason.
Read Kraven the Last Hunt.
Yeah.
It's a really good comic book, yeah.
Right, so let's get one thing out of the way first. So we decided that we would do this in the most like excessive way possible. So we sat down, well, Dan sat down, and had a think about how we would do it, and
how are we gonna make this an event.
Yeah, and I imagine as it went through, is there like, could we go to a fancy cinema, do we go in like Leicester Square cinema, that kind of thing. And no, what he eventually decided on is that we would go see it in 4DX. Now, if you don't know what 4DX is, well done, you don't want to know. But for those who do want to know, it's like this whole experience where you sit on some kind of like roller coaster type chair that bounces you around, and there's stuff that goes on in the cinema, like smoke comes out when it's like
a smoke machine,
a smoke machine, and it sprays you with water and it sprays you with air
and mist
and it really makes you, you know, sick. To your very stomach. Oh my god.
And then the movie happened.
So that's what we did for Kraven the Hunter.
So we want to rate your 4DX
my
experience.
My 4DX experience. Oh my god, I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated it so much. I hated it with every fiber of my being. It was awful. Truly awful. Because it's just, there's no rhyme or reason to when the bumps happen. Or what exactly they're trying to convey.
Yeah, that's what was really annoying me in terms of like logic. They want to transport you into the movie, but then they mix sensations that the main character's feelings and sensations that like just one-off kind of red shirt characters are doing.
Yeah.
Plus they're mixing that with like camera motion.
Yeah, and they're mixing it with like, oh, this is what the bus feels like when it's rolling down a hill.
Yeah, it's not going to work if you're trying to do too many things at once.
And there's this really annoying thing. We both noticed it as we came out. We were just like livid about it. There's like these really like jabby bits.
Yeah, they're like pistons.
Yeah, there's like pistons, but they're kind of like massaged. They're not too bad. But yeah, like one of the henchmen gets stabbed in the back and his thing jabs you in the back.
Yeah.
And it's just awful. Like you're sitting there and there's a bus rolling down a hill and it's genuinely, it needs seatbelts. Like it genuinely.
It is, because my things were falling out of my pocket.
Yeah, everything.
And I was holding on to not slide off.
I was holding on to the chair. I was holding on to the chair being bounced around. Water's being sprayed at me. There's pistons firing air in my back. They're sending a shock down my spine. I'm like contorted, trying to desperately. And then it's spraying water in my face. Like, fuck off. Just fuck off with the whole thing.
Remember what you said that after? I thought it was a really hilarious point, which is, you know, how they have autism-friendly screening. This is the polar opposite of that.
It's just
autism-unfriendly screenings.
I hated it so much. And the worst bit about it is, right, so I didn't prepare for it very well at all because I had like a massive dinner beforehand.
Oh. And you almost went in with an open drink. That would have been a fucking nightmare. Can you imagine if they let you do that?
Well, that was the thing as well. They served me like a pint of cider.
Yeah.
And I went to go in and they were like, oh no, you can't take that into 4DX screening. So on top of my massive dinner, I also had to down a pint of cider before the screening started. I felt so sick. I genuinely, like, every burp I had just like bouncing around like a motherfucker. It was horrible. I hated it so much, man.
It's memorable.
Yeah.
So is going to war. So, after that, we watched a movie.
During that.
While we were madly shaking around and spread with water and being poked. And pistons, just after a calm scene, there's just a piston going next to my ear. Just a
spurting air out. Honestly, it was awful.
Well, so what did you think of Craven, Friend of War?
It was worse than that.
Really?
No, it wasn't.
I'll start with good things.
Yeah?
I'll start with a good thing.
Oh, cool.
Action was passable.
Yes. Yes,
what was it? Like, what's a medium grade here in England? Like a C?
Mm-hmm.
It was a C-.
C-.
Yeah, it was just about passable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all the good things I have to say.
Because I will say this, like, and this is an incredibly low bar.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is... is one of the best of the Spunk.
Mm-hmm. Action-wise, for
if
sure.
If not the best of the Spunk. Everything else has, like, glaring, massive problems that are just stupid.
Yeah.
And this has stupid things, mm-hmm. but it's not as stupid as the stuff in the oven. I mean, apart from maybe Venom 1.
It was on the John Wick, but it was, like, sneaking around. There was some proper stunts.
And it was violent as well. It was, like, really violent. I mean, we felt every minute of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, people, there's lots of blood and there's things. Yeah. And it begs the question why they didn't do it sooner. Like, why isn't Venom like that? How are you trying to appeal to, like, 12-year-olds or 10-year-olds with Venom? You know, just go big.
Mm-hmm.
Deadpool's a bit of an outlier, but I think that shows there is an audience there.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. It's what people want to see. Because you got to think, like, most cinema goers these days are of age. They're either tiny kids, mm-hmm. where they get in for, like, real cheap or free,
mm-hmm.
or they're like us and they're, like, in middle
big
age.
Big kids.
Yeah.
Tiny kids or big kids.
Yeah, exactly. And there's an audience for it. Mm-hmm. So, well, there's an audience for this film, but because every film before it sucked.
To be fair, like, the violence in this movie, I could take or leave. It doesn't really matter to me. I feel like they did shoot it in a PG-13 mindset.
Okay.
And they went, oh, let's just add blood mist to everything that disappears halfway in because it's a plug-in effect. It's just a mist that comes out and just disappears into nothing, into the air.
No, it was definitely, like, blood liquid.
No.
Yeah.
In this movie?
Yeah, there was. Not in, like, real life, but I didn't see the blood spurt as if, like you're saying, it wasn't as bad as what...
To me, it was like that.
You think everything's like that, though.
No.
The amount of times we have this conversation, like, I'd like to listen to all the podcasts and see how many times you've said plug in mist, blood mist.
Well, a lot of movies are like this nowadays, because it's a cheap effect done cheaply. But, you know, there's the substance.
Yeah.
Has proper blood in it. Yeah.
And then some.
And then some. So we open on in Africa. One of my favorite things in this movie is all the title cards explaining where things are.
Yeah.
Somewhere in Africa.
Yeah.
Eastern Russia. Northern Russia. Somewhere in Latin America.
The jungle.
Yeah. You can't go more specific than the continent.
Yeah. I mean, it was weirdly unspecific. Like, normally you either get, like, town name, country. Or you get, like, a big thing on the screen that says Italy.
Yeah.
You know, Endgame style.
Mm-hmm.
Go on out Endgame style. Wow.
Wow.
How
low are we stooped now?
Well, that's because we watched Craven. It's because we've been watching Spunk for too long. But this was just like you say, it was East Russia.
Oh, my favorite was outside London.
Yes.
That's a lot of places.
Not Southeast England, or not South England.
Yeah.
Outside London.
Why can't you do Cambridge? Because that's what the letters said. I was paying attention.
Yeah?
Yeah, for the first 10 minutes of the movie. It said Cambridge. So why can't you do
Cambridge England? Yeah, that's what I'll say. Normally you have, like, town.
Outside London. It's a big country. That could mean the Orkney Islands, as far as everyone knows.
Well, the rest of the world is outside London. That could mean Paris, France.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Antarctica.
Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah, that's outside London. Rick.
Hello.
Do you like to listen to bonus episodes on patreon.com/IHAMovie?
I love it more than anything else.
It makes my life so good.
I've grown 12 inches since listening to...
Where?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Did you know that on patreon.com/IHAMovie, we have our best episodes on the show for £1 plus tax. You can enjoy all our bonus episodes we do every month. We do things like trivia.
Current champion.
Oh yeah, f*** you. I forget, I hate you. We do things like...
Random film generators.
Random film generators.
We've watched films like Resident Evil 3 and Halloween No One Cares.
Halloween 2, the bad one. The other bad one.
No, the other bad one.
Not the other bad one.
No, the other bad one.
We get movie suggestions from our patrons and much more.
More.
So join this great community of people for £1 plus taxes a month. patreon.com/IHAMovie. We start in Africa somewhere, and there's lady, and lady's teaching younger lady.
Is that how the film started?
No, I started with a boring action scene, but I just don't have anything to say about that.
Yeah.
It started with him in prison, which is again C-minus action scene. Mm-hmm. And I almost had my hopes up. I was like, okay, this looks passable.
Yeah.
This looks almost like a movie.
His bits where he was like climbing on stuff look pretty cool.
Look pretty cool, yeah. Yeah, I don't have anything to say about it. I do have something to say about the Africa scene.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm a terror expert and this had me howling inside about the terror reading in this fucking... First of all, I gotta show you a prop. Do you remember how thick that deck was? It was giant.
Yeah, it was massively huge.
That's a tarot deck.
Okay, that's it's probably about twice the size of a regular deck of cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was like five times the size.
Yeah, it was comically large.
It was comically large. And then she starts to do a tarot reading. So, I don't know if you know this, but I'll explain it to the audience. A tarot has 22 major arcana cards. Those are your strength, your tower, your death, your lovers. Those are the famous ones.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the cards are like 50 cards, are like five of cups. Two of pigeons, whatever, you know, like that.
Yeah.
I know, it's swords and whatever. I know, I'm just making jokes. And then she has this giant deck.
Yeah, it's massive.
It's massive deck. And then she somehow pulls out the three major arcana cards, which is 20 out of 70. And then she took all the poetry out of it. Because, like, that's why I like tarot. I don't believe in it. But, mm-hmm. like, the imagery, I like kind of intuitively interpreting something. He's like, strength. That means you need the strength. Tower of destruction. That means there'll be destruction. Death. There'll be death. It's like, oh my God. Jesus Christ.
My favorite bit about that scene is they were clearly name dropping like some major character. And it's just the least subtle thing about it. It's like normally like in Marvel, you get like Tony. He's Tony. He's Tony. He's Tony. Sometimes they call him Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know. Captain America is Steve, blah, blah, blah. This was, hey, Calypso.
Calypso.
Would you like to do some tarot, Calypso?
Maybe that was her regular name. I don't know much about that.
Yeah, but you wouldn't call someone, if someone was good, you would Callie or you're okay, someone like that. You don't call someone by their full name ever. No one ever does.
Mm-hmm.
No one's, hey, like, hey, Samantha. You know, hey, Kimberly. No, no one does that. It's just... You know, just try and make it just a little bit natural.
Yeah.
In any way. But no, they can't do that. It's, hey, Calypso. Would you do tarot, Calypso? Here's this important MacGuffin, Calypso.
Oh, yeah. Here's the vial of super juice.
Yeah. For no reason.
For no reason. You're going to use it kind of pointlessly on Craven.
Yeah.
But you don't even know what it does, but you're going to use it.
This will bring someone back to life.
She didn't even say that.
Didn't she? I'm pretty sure
she said,
did.
She almost verbatim said something like, you will need this at some point and you will know what you need it for. But how? Because mysticism?
No, she does say something. It will bring someone back and give them the power of the animals or something.
I don't remember this at all. Maybe because my chair was shaking uncontrollably.
While they were sitting on a chair calmly in Africa, we were bouncing around like a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Oh, and then the world's longest flashback scene happens. That should have been cut up so much. We meet young Craven. It's like young Sheldon, but young Craven.
But they're set at the same time, because they're in Africa. It's the same time, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing is a massive flashback.
Yeah, I guess. There you go. So it's a 12-minute flashback scene. So we meet Rusty Crows, and he's Andrew Tating it.
He's Andrew Tating it.
Yeah,
he's
doing that, like, you remember when the guy laughed? Remember when he laughed at, "Mommy died, your mother is weak."
Yeah, your mother killed herself, she was weak.
And then the guy laughed behind us because it was funny.
I will say this about the audience in our screening. They really were in on the joke.
Yeah,
I feel like so many times something cringe and terrible happened and somebody else laughed. Not because it was funny, but because it was so bad. I will say this, though. I fully expected the weaker brother to be Craven. I thought it was going to be like this, you know, that's a standard comic book thing. Mm-hmm. The weak one gets powers and becomes like he's good because he knows what weakness is about.
Yeah, but no, we have to shove in another thing. Shoving the chameleon, everyone's favorite Spider-Man character.
Yeah, it's just...
because he can badly ADR other people's sounds. Where his mouth moving completely differently than the audio.
So much of this film was ADR.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. I genuinely thought, like, the wise old woman with the who gave the deck of cards, I genuinely thought she was dubbed start to finish.
Yeah, there was a lot of, like, cutaway shots of the deck. That's why I picked up on it. And then the vial.
And, like you say, like, the way the chameleon did things as well. It's just the whole thing's just ADR.
Yeah, I can mimic voices. Here's what Rusty Crows sound like. It's just record Rusty Crows to do something.
Yeah.
It's just... lazy.
And I got all the way through, they were building up to he was some kind of character that I'd never heard of before.
Yeah.
But
I knew he was going to be Chameleon.
I just didn't care.
And I didn't care either. But it's my favorite, like, bad superhero thing. When he's like, "You know why I was always a chameleon?" And he just looks in the camera. Like, get it? He only hunts a fish in this movie. Like, the most safe thing you can do. That's why it doesn't feel like an R-rated movie. Because it feels very safe, mm-hmm. even with all the blood spurts. It feels like if they like go hardcore, he would be a hunter, you know?
Yeah.
But they can't do that because that's the thing. So he's a villain and they have to twist his story so much to make him a good guy. So he's not the same anymore. It's like all these bum movies. It's the same story. Let's talk about the three criminal plots that are completely separate, yet they intertwine. But not in the plot, just in timeline. Did you get that? It took me a while to figure out what the fuck is happening. I wanted to lean into you. I was like, do you know what the fuck is going on? Because, okay, so...
it seemed pretty obvious to me.
After a while it was, but it was just like... because my screenwriter brain was like, this is not right. Something's wrong. Because, okay, so he has his criminal father.
Yep.
Who's a drug lord, which we only found out like 2/3 into that movie when you went out to the toilet.
Okay.
That's when it was like, but you sell drugs. I'm like, oh, okay, now I know what he does. Like, I guess this wasn't important so far.
No, it wasn't. He's just a crime guy. He's got a crime guy. Does crime.
Just makes it so generic.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You're surprised by that in this film? Genericness?
Yeah.
It just seemed to me there was 3 rival gangs.
Well, not even.
Yeah.
Not even rival, because there's the poachers.
Yeah.
And then there's 2 rivals, the Rhino.
The poachers were rivals with Rhino.
And were they?
Yeah. So there's were 3. They? Yeah, I think so. Or at least the Rhino was the underling of the poachers, or he was a rival gang.
Hmm.
No, he's a rival gang because he says, I'm going to move on in the territory because Joe Bloggs has died. Joe Bloggs has died in his weirdly, like, kind of New York law firm office. So there's 3 rival gangs.
Yes. And they do drugs and animal cruelty.
Yes.
That's their specialization.
Because you know how, you know, drugs, all drugs are made from bison horn.
Yeah.
You just grind them down and that's how cocaine is made.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 3 rival gangs, bison sniffers.
Mm-hmm.
The bison sniffers are a gang and Rhino's a gang. And then bison sniffer, the head of the bison sniffers gets killed. Right? Mm-hmm. And Rhino takes over.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that leaves 2 powers. But the head of Rusty Crows...
yeah.
Rusty Crows needs to get rid of Rhino.
Mm-hmm.
So he puts Craven to kill Rhino.
No spoilers. It's okay, so...
a weird collection of people.
Was it Bison Sniffer?
Bison Sniffer, yeah.
He's the most famous Spider-Man villain, Bison Sniffer. Next to Big Wheel and Stiltman.
Stiltman?
Yeah, we should do like an episode on funny Spider-Man villains. There's a really lot of funny ones. My favorite is Big Wheel, because it's just a guy on a big wheel. He just drives it around.
Really?
It's a big wheel. Okay, so maybe you can clear this up for me.
Okay.
Who was that guy Kraven killed for Calypso just before they met, right?
That was Bison Sniffer.
That was Bison Sniffer?
Yeah.
So it's just a coincidence that Calypso is like an attorney against Bison Sniffer.
Yeah.
It's just a complete coincidence,
yeah.
That's why it was bugging me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like, yeah, how these connected?
There's a subplot that's never mentioned again.
Mm-hmm.
Is she's just at a funeral and she's like, my best friend in the whole world, she stood for justice,
yeah,
and she stood for greatness.
It's almost like
she was the best person in the whole world. And we know who did this. Mm-hmm. It was Crime Lord. Mr. Crime Lord did it. Oh, I hope something bad happens to him. Oh, he's dead. Ah, cool. We never have to mention that again then. Good.
Wait, so who was the fucking prisoner then? What was the prison thing about? That's why I'm like, so many criminal plots.
Maybe there's four gangs.
There's so many criminal plots that just are four. Two of them align.
I think Rhino worked for the guy in the prison.
Did he?
I think so.
Also, can we stop calling him Rhino and calling him Small Backpack Man? He's true.
Can we call him Camelback?
Camelback. He's ready for school. He's tiny backpack man. It's very threatening.
It is really comical. Like, you keep expecting him to pull out like sandwiches
with
the crust cut off. Little PB&J coming out. This is what keeps me calm.
So I'm not super clear still what's happened with the criminal organizations. And my screenwriter brain is just like craves. Wink. That like simplification.
Yeah, it's a mess.
It's a fucking mess. And all these like four criminal organizations, they like the plots happen at the same time.
Yeah.
And only two of them are intertwined, really. I mean, there's characters that have things to do with each other, but that's a complete coincidence. In terms of gangage, they're just two of them intertwined,
in
right?
In terms of the gangbang.
In terms of the gangbang, there's only two of them that have anything to do with each other.
Well, the point is, they're all powerful gangs. And if you just get rid of one, then you've got more power. And if you get another one, then you've got more power.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why there's so many.
Simplify it.
Yeah.
Anyway, now that I'm not clear at all what happened, here's what I thought a twist was going to be, right? When Kraven meets Calypso in adult form.
Who?
Lady.
Hey, Calypso. How you doing, Calypso?
Do you think it's a brand deal with that lolly ice cream thing? The one that you squeeze out on the bottom and lick it. That's a Calypso, right?
Okay, yeah.
It's a Nestle brand deal. Start sucking on a lolly halfway through.
I was so worried about what you were going to say then.
So here's what a twist that was, I think, was probably a setup by accident. And I mistook it for a twist.
Mm-hmm.
When Kraven meets Lady Calypso.
Calypso.
He says, I'm called Kraven, but I only told this to people that are dead now. And then like 2 seconds later, a gang comes after him. Kraven is here. Kraven the Hunter. And I thought, what's going to happen? That's how we're going to find out that the lady is in on it.
Okay. Yeah, because it comes up on a computer screen as well.
Yeah.
Like, he does it. Oh, like,
they keep calling him Kraven like 20 seconds after he says they only told people who are dead now. Unless he was just telling that to her to be cool.
It's a cool line to say.
Yeah.
I do it on my first dates. Hi, I'm Rick. I need to say it to people who are dead now. Have a drink.
Typing 999 on the phone. Speed dial.
Goes up to the ask for Alice thing. Have you seen that?
Yeah. So that was a fucking mistake.
Yeah, that was. I didn't even catch that.
Let's talk about villains.
Villains.
So there's Small Backpack Man ready for school.
Yeah. He's got his rulers and he's got his protractor ready. He's got that compass, you know, the stabby one. That's, yeah. He should just take that out of his bag and try and stab people.
Problem is, he's got safety scissors, so I can't really do too much to him.
Yeah, Backpack Man.
Small Backpack Man, he was terrible.
Yep.
He was doing overacting. You remember when he went for no reason?
Yeah. Why was that?
Maybe they actually researched what does rhino sound like and they tried to imitate it.
Do you know who he reminded me of and who would have done a much better job? Have you ever seen...
Paul Giamatti?
No.
He was the rhino.
He was the rhino though, yeah.
I'd love to see him as rhino again.
He was in like a giant mechanical rhino.
Yeah, I'd love to see that again. It's just so weird to have Paul Giamatti in these fucking movies.
Happy. You know the TV series Happy?
Oh.
With the...
Yes. Yeah. Wet Hot American Summer guy. Right?
Yes, yeah. He's in it, yeah. So, do you remember there's a bad guy in that? It looked like he wanted to be that guy.
Oh, he was in Mulholland Drive. He was the diner man.
Those two basically seem like the same character, kind of like a creepy...
It looks similar as well.
Yeah, I think, and the guy's name, and I apologise to everyone listening, because you're not going to know who Patrick Fischler is.
He's a common David Lynch actor.
Mm-hmm.
He's good at intense, for sure.
Yeah, and that's what it needed. It needed that intensity, but also with a little bit of Strange on there as well.
Yeah.
Which he would have been perfect for. And it's kind of like someone showed this guy Happy and was like, be that.
Mm-hmm.
And he did his best, but his best wasn't good enough.
No.
He was not intimidating at all. He was really short.
Yeah, nerdy.
Yeah.
Just like the rhino is.
Just, yeah,
in the comics.
Just like every gang leader you've ever met.
Yeah.
Short, nerdy people with tiny backpacks.
Yeah, he really commands respect.
Roar the roost.
And the rhino's license plate said rhino.
I know, you were so excited about that. You kept tapping me on the... You go, look, look, look. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Because it's so stupid.
You were just pointing at the screen.
Yeah, because it's so stupid. And it breaks a tradition. Do you know the ASM license plate?
No.
In all Spider-Man films, I think... Especially in the MCU ones and the Spawn movies, the license plates are the ASM and a number, and it's Amazing Spider-Man.
Okay.
And it's usually like an issue, like 175, when the rhino turns up.
Okay.
You know, it's, you look out for MCU movies. It's like, you know, it's in all MCU movies, I think.
Oh, wow.
And that has Spider-Man in it. So, yeah, they just break a tradition.
Wow.
Boo. Just to have rhino on the license plate.
And I didn't even notice it.
Let's talk about the other villain.
Let's talk about the real villain.
The real villain of the story. The Foreigner.
As a character, as a concept, mm-hmm. I really like the idea.
Yeah. You know what I was excited about? I was like, oh my God, how's Kraven going to get out of this?
Mm-hmm.
It's a guy that can stop time or just hypnotize people.
He hypnotizes people
so they freeze.
Mm-hmm.
It's not compatible with Kraven's power. So how is he going to get out of this one? Oh, wait. He isn't.
No.
He just dies.
He's going to get a little help from his friend.
Yeah. The only time the lady does something. And how is he going to defeat the rhino? What smart thing is he going to do? Nothing. He's just going to stab him in the soft spot.
Yeah.
Great.
In the stab me here spot.
Yeah. But that's why I was excited. I was like, oh, great. It's an interesting combination. What is he going to do? He has to outsmart this hypnotizer guy.
No.
And that's when they shove in the... Because in your trailer, you have to have some sort of references to Spider-Man, right? So when the Foreigner shoots him with the hallucination drug, like spiders come down. It's like, spiders are the only animal I don't like. And then they...
Never mentioned before. Never mentioned again.
Nope. And they insert his mom is like, oh, get the spiders off me.
Yeah.
Like,
again, never mentioned. There are flashback scenes where she's in the mental hospital.
Yeah.
Doesn't mention spiders.
Yeah, maybe... Once. It was just a producer recording that line. We have to make sense of this somehow. Obligatory.
Spider reference.
Make you remember Spider-Man.
Yeah, just have a scene somewhere at the start of the film where he sees a spider and he's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Hate spiders. Mention it. Just once. One line of dialogue.
I'm Kraven, friend of all animals except spiders.
Yeah, exactly. Make a joke of it. Do something.
Yeah.
Not just put it in the middle of your film. Oh, he's scared of spiders.
Do the same thing as Madame Web did. You have, who's that guy who played Uncle Ben? In
Adam Scott.
He comes up, is like, you know how he always goes on about responsibility? Something really stupid like that.
She murders the catchphrase.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
And when you take on the responsibility... Great power will come.
I kind of want to talk about the Foreigner a bit more because I really liked him.
I liked him as a concept, but in execution, it was terrible. Because
the execution of the film was terrible. I think the guy who played it was pretty good.
Yeah, but I think like he was a missed opportunity in terms of all he does is makes people freeze and then shoot them, and it happens a comical amount of times. He could do other stuff. He did nothing clever. He could tie them up while they're, you know, hypnotized or, you know, anything different than other than one, two, three, bang. And that happens like five times.
Yeah, and what's weird about it is he lets them wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hypnotizes them. And there's even one scene where he picks up a gun from someone's hand and turns it around. Point it at them.
Yeah.
And I think, oh my God, they're all going to start shooting. He's going to shoot himself. Mm-hmm. But they don't. He just wakes up and he goes, the gun's the wrong way around. Yeah, let me turn it back. I thought it was a really interesting concept for a villain. I'll tell you what it reminded me of a little bit. You know Jessica Jones, David Tennant's character in Jessica
Jones?
The
Purple Man.
Kilgrave?
His super villain name is the Purple Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it kind of reminded me of that. Just like a low-key power that has like unbelievable possibilities.
Well, it's great that they put it to great use. He just gets shot in the face.
With an arrow.
With an arrow.
She's weirdly good at arrows.
Yeah,
because she did a summer camp.
Yeah, it was supposed to be quite a summer camp.
Yeah, quite a summer
camp. God, can I talk about how I hate Aaron Taylor-Johnson so much? I don't get
it. Would you like me to leave you alone on the podcast for about half an hour? I'll come back in a bit.
I don't get why he's famous. He has one face when he's like raising his eyebrows. I'm like, that's his face. that's his face for everything. I don't get it. I don't get why he's famous.
He is a very good like companion actor, you know?
Maybe.
You put him in Avengers, Ultron, and he's good, you know? He does what he's meant to do. His character does what he's meant to do. And that's it.
Yeah.
He is not a leading man.
No, I think he's the most boring part of every movie he's ever done.
He cannot be the next Bond.
No.
He cannot be the next Bond.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything more.
He does his eyebrow face throughout the whole movie. God.
Bond. James Bond.
Yeah.
There's two bits, right, that I want to talk about, and then I want to never talk about this film ever again.
Okay.
Right. First bit I want to talk about is the tiger, or whatever it is, the leopard. That just comes out of the bushes.
Yeah.
And just attacks him. And they have a little fight. And then he's like, go away.
Yeah, it was like playful.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's what I didn't get from it. It needed a bit at the end where the cat's like, and he strokes it.
Starts purring.
He strokes it. And he maybe feeds it like a squirrel or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. But I think that was the idea, yeah.
But then it attacked random people later. And again, he didn't set it to attack.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't like, attack those people. It just jumped out of the bushes again and attacked real people in the same kind of fashion. It was very confusing.
Yeah.
Calypso also doesn't give a shit about anything. She's like, oh, look, it's a fucking you getting attacked by a leopard or whatever.
She's the one that everyone laughed at in the cinema with her delivery. Remember that?
No.
Because I think it was not just for delivery, because like a terrible ADR line. And they were like just coming out of a helicopter. I think in like ADR, they go like, oh, shout, because you're in a, you know, there's helicopter sounds. And she goes like, the rhino is after you. And everyone laughed in the theater. Everyone. Because it was so awkward.
And the next bit, and the last bit I want to talk about, is his weapon button.
Yeah.
Again, like there's no lead up to it. There's no like lead up to it whatsoever. She's wandering around and she just lifts up a statue. And why he needs to hide a button when he lives in the Russian wilderness in the middle of nowhere, I couldn't tell you. And he pushes the button, and then this weird level of technology happens, because he's supposed to be living in like a dome in the middle of nowhere, living off the land and stuff. And then suddenly it's like, all these things that start coming down from the ceiling for some reason. Again, why are you hiding all your knives? You're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, why can't it just be in the drawer?
Why can't they be on just the wall?
Yeah, or if you want to go silly, well, either you exaggerate it, because I thought what was going to happen when Lady pushes the button, I thought she's going to be like put in like a chute and goes down to the
just have a lift to like his like layer.
Craven cave.
Yeah,
exactly. The Craven. And it's just like, and there's like the Craven mobile, and you know, whatever.
It's like a leopard print motorbike.
Yeah.
It's a submarine that looks like a giant fish.
It's all the Craven costumes and the different panels.
One like really sexy one. It's like a disco one. It's got like silver glitter all over his collar.
Yeah.
Disco Craven.
Disco Craven. I love Disco Craven. Or do it like as a surprise. If they cut out that scene when the lady does it.
Yes.
And then he does it when they're like, it's time for action.
Yeah.
ka-ching.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do, and it will calm down. That would be cool. Yeah. Cool. Dumb, but cool.
Yeah, I think so too. And the thing is, those two scenes are like 2 minutes apart.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Just why? It just makes no sense.
No.
At all.
You should just have dumb fun. The cave-in.
The cave-in. The K-cave.
The K-cave. Cave.
Cave with a K. The K-pop cave. Oh my god, he could have like a Kraven jet.
Yeah.
But it flies like a bat. Oh no, wait, you can't. That's Batman.
You can do his original costume, which they allude to at the end of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Where he sits sexily in the
chair. He sits like Kraven, even though he's not that character.
No.
He sits like Kraven in the comics.
The only thing I could think about, like, when he was doing his cool sexy pose, is that he was manspreading too much, you know?
That's the funny thing, is it wasn't, like, in a throne. He was just in a chair in a dusty warehouse or whatever. And he's, like, sitting down all cool and shit. Like, it's not cool.
No one around, mate. Who are you doing that for?
And it wasn't a completely accurate comic thing, because he's supposed to have eyes for nipples.
Eyes what?
Yeah, so like, you know, he has the lion mane,
mm-hmm.
and then on the vest he's supposed to have eyes where the nipples are. And they used to shoot lasers in the 60s.
Oh my god.
So they could have he could have that in the cave-in.
When I saw him like manspreading like that, I just think, I bet you sit like that on the tube. I bet you're that dickhead who sits like that on the fucking busy train.
Yeah. And how weird was the ending? They almost tried to force him to be Kraven.
Yeah.
Right at the end. He goes like, "You're just like my father." And he's like thinking about it. It's like, maybe I am. Maybe I'm a bad guy. Even though none of the movie supports that whatsoever.
The very last thing that makes no sense out of all of this is that they were hoping to put these films together. And how can you do that? How can you have a character who hunts down mob bosses?
Yeah.
And then put him with another load of villains?
Mm-hmm.
And have them all do something. Like, what is he going to do when he meets... I suppose they're all kind of good guys. None of them are villains anymore, I suppose.
Kind of.
Even...
They're all anti-heroes.
Ugh. Yeah, I suppose, because they're all anti-heroes. Maybe yeah. They're all anti...
They've all been forced to be anti-heroes, even though...
Anti-heroes together. Anti-heroes anonymous.
Do you think there will be nostalgia for these movies? Like how there's nostalgia for the kind of crappy Fox movies like Elektra?
No, mm-hmm. I don't. Because with the exception of Daredevil, most of those films were fairly well received. The Fantastic Four with Jessica Alba, it got a sequel.
Yeah.
You know, it's dumb fun. It's not MCU, but people generally, like, it was of its time and people liked it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the nostalgia part of it, is that you see all these serious, dark films and you just kind of crave a bit of comic, you know?
Crave?
Hey. You kind of need a bit of of this, like, comic lightheartedness.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the nostalgia comes from. I don't think people are just going to look back at a shit film.
Mm-hmm. But maybe like Venom will be.
Maybe Venom. Yeah, maybe. Maybe
yeah.
20 years from now, 10 years from now, people will be like, oh yeah, Venom. I like that.
Remember when Tom Hardy swam with the lobsters? He gets into a lobster tank.
Does he?
Yeah, in the first Venom. He's like, I'm hot, I gotta cool down. And he goes into a restaurant and gets into a lobster tank. You see, it's already working. The nostalgia is happening.
So no, I don't think anyone's going to ever watch Madam Web ever again.
It's going to disappear from the world.
Yeah. What a travesty that you can't get 28 Days Later anywhere, but yeah, you will be able to find Madam Web for the duration of time.
In charity shops all around the country.
Nobody bought a physical copy of this, I can tell you that right
but
now.
But sometimes shit from big stores end up in charity shops anyway, because they just dump it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're gonna like with the you know the ET thing? ET cartridges, Atari?
No.
Atari, when they made the ET game, again, another atrocity caused by ET, they produced so much and it was so shit and no one bought it that they buried it in a desert in Mexico. It was like thousands and thousands of cartridges. It was discovered like a few years ago. It was a legend and they found it.
That's some Indiana Jones shit.
So yeah, maybe it'll be buried in the desert, Madam Web, and we're going to rediscover it 100 years later.
Imagine being an archaeologist like 500 years from now. Oh my god, we found these messages from the past. Why are there so many of them? There's like 2,000 of them here.
Oh, so as we can tell, in the past, people really enjoyed very, 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 very vague references to Spider-Man. I think that's what people liked in this past.
It becomes like some kind of like hidden lore. Yeah. Like everyone's trying to find the Spider-Man, the real meaning of Spider-Man.
Yeah, the mangled responsibility speech will become like the motto of that new empire.
And when you take on the responsibility, great power will come.
This is what our ancestors thought.
Something power, something responsibility, something power, power, something.
Yeah.
Those exact words.
It must mean something. I can't figure out what. I think that's a good way to end it.
Yeah, I think so too.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, if I get this out of time.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Hopefully Happy New Year at the very least.
Yeah. See you. Not at the next spawn, but see you probably Nosferatu.
Yes.
Maybe. Maybe it'll come out of that as like, nope. I'll love it and you'll be excited for it and you'll hate it.
Yep. There we go. Robert Eggers doing what he does.
Yeah. I love him.
Bye.
Bye.
Morbius, evil Morbius, Madam Web and her spider ladies too. Crazy friend of all animals, and don't forget Calypso, more than time forever.